This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right, it's 306 on DGS. Dave out today, and he'll be back on Monday. Monday, of course, a big day here as we will be flipping the switch. 104.1 FM KMOX becomes a reality at 12:01 a.m. Monday morning. So that'll be great, and that'll be permanent moving forward. 11:20 is not going anywhere, so if you live further out, you're always going to have that. Don't have to worry about it. The Odyssey app's not going anywhere, so if you listen that way, well, you're still good. You're still golden. I know I said you're still good. You're still good.
Still good.
I'm just going to say mushed words
do
in
it.
The next 10 minutes. I don't know why I just went straight to the dude from the water boy, the coach that nobody could understand. Go. All right. I don't know why I broke into that. Whatever. That's the way it went. And we have, so that'll be Monday. Obviously, Thursday's opening day. Great big opening day. That we'll be looking forward to. Sounds like weather is going to be good. We're going to be inside at Ballpark Village, which takes away a lot of the risk if there's rain or whatever. And obviously the game, looking forward to that. And we'll talk more about the Cardinals, who had a set of split squad games today. Good Lord, the words do not want to work today.
You sound like me trying to read my headline.
A set of split squad games. It's like she sells seashells down by the seashore. But the split squad games today, Cardinals lost both, but there were some good and bad in both. And we'll go over that with Bernie Miklas coming up at 3:15. Same thing with the Blues, who had a big win last night. Same thing with Mizzou, who did not have a big win last night, and then Illinois plays tonight at 8:45. Why don't we do some fast food news before we get to Bernie and some Cardinals talk?
Sounds good, Wheels, because we have some very relevant insights to offer into fast food.
Andrew is our insider.
He is, because my first story is about KFC. They just launched its first new bucket offering in nearly 10 years with the all-new Dunk It Bucket, featuring new mashed potato poppers. So I saw this last night while I was doing my research for fast food news segment, immediately sent it to my friend Andrew, and he was on the ground today. He got this for lunch. Let's get a
break
little,
it down. Let's go.
A little off the cuff review here, if you don't mind.
It was okay. Back to you, Rach.
No. It was fine.
It was okay.
It's all right. No, it was pretty good. You get the original recipe. I was messing with this camera. It looks funny.
Yeah, it was like right at the top of my forehead.
You get original recipe tenders, which I have. I'm a little bearish, I think, on the original recipe tenders. I'm not the biggest fan. I'm not crazy about them.
I don't
dislike them. I like them more than their old tenders, but I think that they are a little I think they're not quite as good as people often give them credit for, personally.
All right.
Okay.
And then you get
mashed potato poppers.
Then you get the tater poppers, which are sort of like big crispy tots, right? They're sort of a circle. They look like
Are they like potato puffs?
No, they're not puffs. They have a crunchy outside, a light crunchy outside, not real crunchy. And then the inside is like solid mashed potatoes.
A potato croquette, kind of.
Yeah, but they held together very well.
Did I say that wrong?
No, it's a great description.
Uh-huh. And they held together pretty well when you bite them in half or whatever to make them last a little longer because you only get five of them. They don't fall apart. So that I was happy about. And then you get the fries, which I'm not the biggest fan of KFC's fries, but they were okay today. They were
so.
And then you get like dipping stuff like gravy and sauce and all that.
So they're like, here's some chicken.
Yes.
And some potatoes, and then some potatoes on top of your potatoes.
Yes. You get essentially two kinds of crunchy outside stuff with tater on inside.
All right.
Yeah, I would like to see maybe some coleslaw mixed in there just for some greenery.
Mac and cheese.
Yeah. Mac and cheese would be good.
Maybe throw a biscuit in. I mean, I don't
know. Oh, there
biscuit
you go.
Would always be a huge help. Yeah. Everything at KFC should come with a biscuit.
Listen, KFC. We have ideas.
We do, and we go there a lot, so yeah, you should listen.
We
to
do.
A lot of expertise in this studio.
It is totally crazy down there, we still go down there.
Well, you know, it's close. Because if it was two streets away,
yeah,
we'd probably never go
this.
There.
That is correct.
All right,
not to KFC, but to this KFC.
Yes, yes, yes. Pizza Hut is launching a limited time $11.99 large three-topping pizza deal. It's all right there on the headline, what I just said. $11.99 for a large three-topping pizza. That's a pretty darn good deal. You can get it hand-tossed, tavern-style, or thin-crust pizza. You could also do stuffed crust, but you're going to do about a $3 upcharge for that. So something to keep in mind if you're thinking of ordering a pizza this weekend.
When are you not thinking about ordering a pizza on the weekend?
That's a good question.
Doesn't mean you're going to do it, but you're always thinking about it.
You know, I tried the Domino's stuffed crust recently.
Yeah?
It's pretty good.
Not bad?
Yeah, they do it in like a garlicky, they brush garlic and Parmesan over the top of the crust.
All
and
right.
It's quite tasty.
Yeah.
Yum.
Since it is Fish Friday, you know, a lot of these fast food restaurants want to offer up fish offerings during Lent season. Shrimp nibblers and fish nibblers have returned to White Castle. These are bite-sized pieces of butterfly shrimp coated with seasoned batter and fried until crispy. That's the shrimp nibblers, obviously. The fish nibblers are bite-sized batter and fried Alaskan pollock pieces.
I don't like that name.
The nibbler. Yeah, I feel weird saying
it's like
nibbler.
You're almost like they're nibbling on you.
Yeah.
Which makes it weird. How about like little chunks?
Get some fish chunks.
Get some shrimp chunks. nuggets. How about that? Shrimp nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fish nuggets.
Good.
Yeah, I eat that. I don't know if I want nibblers. It's weird.
Don't fix it if it ain't broke.
Quiznos is introducing a new gluten-free bread option. The extra charge for that varies by location, but I mean, this is great. If you have gluten sensitivities and you like Quiznos, they just did something really awesome for you.
Is that going to fall in line with, are people, and I'm not questioning whether they should or shouldn't be, but do you think people are going to be annoyed that it costs more, or do people just kind of accept it because kind of the way it is sometimes if you're dealing with that?
That's a good question because, you know, people do, like, for example, like Andrew's wife, Megan, is allergic to milk.
Mm-hmm.
If you get almond milk, a lot of times they do upcharge you and it's like, well, it's not my fault that I can't have the typical milk here.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
They're going to use Udi's for their gluten-free bread.
Okay.
I hope I'm saying that right. So I'm assuming that brand is part of the reason why you're getting an upcharge.
Good
there.
Point. Yeah, big brand in stores and things, yeah.
This is my final fast food news story, but it is relevant to anyone who goes through a drive-thru, particularly KFC, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, and Habit Burger and Grill. I don't think we have those
no.
in the area.
Mm.
But these are all Yum brands, and they are going to introduce AI ordering at certain fast food locations within the next 3 months. So they'll have voice automated order-taking AI agents, computer vision enhanced operations, accelerated restaurant intelligence.
Oh
so
boy.
These are analytics and agents to assess restaurant performance. That sounds awful if you work there. You're being like, your robot overlords are telling you you're doing a bad job.
You're putting too much meat on the taco.
The company didn't specify which locations will implement the new technology, but this is just something to keep an eye out for. Maybe the next time you go through Taco Bell, you're going to have an AI agent taking your order.
How long before nobody ever orders anything at any of the fast food places outside of the app?
Ooh.
Because I say, like, over the weekend when we were coming back, was it going to? Well, I don't know, one way or the other, when we were going either to or from Chicago, we stopped at McDonald's, and I sat in the parking lot and ordered on the app.
Because it's
instead
just
of
easier.
Going, well, you get a better deal because you always get some deal, that, you know, whatever. And yeah, because then you don't have to deal with going to the kiosk and doing it there because it's no easier on the kiosk than it is on the phone. It's really the same thing.
Right.
And on the phone, you're going to get some offer of some kind. And I wonder if that's just going to be the way it is. You're just not going to have AI orders. You're not going to have humans taking orders. You're just going to order it on your app and then drive up.
You know, I think most people will shift to that, but I just can't stop thinking about older folks who maybe
like
don't even have a... Well, no, people who don't even have a smartphone, you know?
Yeah.
I saw a really interesting article the other day, and it was like, hey, keep in mind that as everything gets easier, aka moves online, just because it's easier for you doesn't mean that it's easier for the older generation. Like, it can be extremely confusing. They didn't grow up with it, and now it's like, oh, yeah, you want to take care of that? You better log into your online account and blah, blah, blah. That's really difficult for some older folks. So I would say within the next 5 years, probably most of the business is going to be done on the apps, like you said, but they'll still have the drive-through.
Yeah, I was thinking more like 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Like when the Gen Xers are in their, you know, mid to late 60s, 70s, because you know, as a Gen Xer, you have the technology and you've had it since you were 25, 30 years old. So there's no reason to be worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, down the road, it may just be as simple as that. Just like how long ago was it we were wondering when is every TV service going to be streaming instead of through a cable or whatever? Well, we're at that point now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Friday on DGS. Dave out today, back on Monday when we have our big blowout party as we switch over to 104.1 FM. And I shouldn't say switch over. We switch on that, and then the two go together, 104.1 and 1120 on the AM dial. So Dave will be back on Monday. Rachel and Andrew and I are here. Bernie Miklas is here for his regular Friday visit. Good to talk to you again, Bern. It feels like we did this about 2.5 hours ago.
You know, Wheels, I talk to you more than like any living person. That includes my wife. Because I'm always working up here in my office and she's downstairs. And I even joked about it. I said, you know, I think I'm going to just ask Wheeler to move in with us.
Oh, nice.
I have my buddy here. Somebody, just my talking buddy.
All right. Well,
it's fun. It's fun.
You know, I make a mean crab cake, Bernie.
I'll be the judge.
All right. One of these days, I'll have to put it to the test. Because the truth is, if I can get a Ballmer guy to like it, then it must be good. So I'm going to test it one of these days. When I make them next, I'm going to get one for you.
And I am a snob. I admit it. I'm a insufferable when
it's
comes to
it's your area of expertise,
things.
Man.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely. All right. Cardinals today, split squad, lost both. That doesn't really matter. Some good and some bad, but let's start with the good. What we talked about today on the Gas House Gang, you and Matt Pauley and I, was a lot about Victor Scott, and he goes deep again, this time against an all-star starter, against Framber Valdez, who, let's be honest, hung a slider, but that's what you do with a hanging slider. You hit it out, and Victor Scott just keeps impressing, man.
Yeah, he does. I was reading something online the other day, and, you know, somebody was saying, well, I don't think Victor Scott, I like him, but he's not ready. And the guy was pointing out how, hey, look at Baseball Reference. They tell you the caliber of pitchers that guys have faced this spring. And he was pointing out how Victor Scott has faced a lot of, like, double-A pitchers and triple-A pitchers. And my answer to that, well, all the hitters are facing those pitches.
Yeah.
So it is astonishing to me the number of people that are lined up to like nitpick Victor Scott.
Yeah,
I mean, my dear beloved Cardinals fans, do you really want a young, exciting, talented player who represents the future, or you don't? You want to just keep doing the same thing? I don't get it.
Yeah, and by the way, nobody's suggesting that the level of performance we've seen in the spring is what you're going to see in the regular season. Like, nobody thinks he's going to go hit 350.
But if he hits
260, he's an impact player.
But and we talked about it on the Gas House Gang, and it's available. People should go watch the discussion. It was right at the top. And one of the other things that gets on my nerves is people keep telling me, it's like, well, you know, I really like Victor. He's having a great spring. But he was really good last spring, and it really didn't matter.
Right.
Because he wasn't very – he's an entirely different hitter. I mean, he is a dramatically different hitter. Like, the way he sets up, his philosophy, the way he positions his hands, the way he uses his legs. He's hitting the last. He had one extra base hit last spring in 41 at bats.
Yeah.
This spring he's got 15 hits and 7 have been extra base hits. He's killing the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know what the heck he would have to do to make the team as the starting center fielder.
Yeah, I don't know. If he hasn't already, then it wasn't going to happen anyway, right? Like, they had already made up their minds if it doesn't happen at this point. So we'll find out. We're going to know by Sunday because they're going to be going north. And I know Monday is the game in Memphis. So that was one of the good stories today. Michael McGreevy was a great story. 5 shutout innings. It wasn't the full Mets lineup. So it wasn't no Lindor and Soto, but the rest of them were there. Pete Alonso was there. Mark Vientos was there. Brandon Nimmo was there. So I mean, five shutout innings for him as he continues to make a case to be a part of this. And I know it's going to take some creativity, but he certainly has done everything he can.
I want to ask you a question. Yeah, I totally agree. Are you okay? McGreevy has taken. It took him a while in the minors.
It did. Yeah.
He really wasn't all that impressive. And listen, I know that happens. That doesn't mean a guy can't make it.
Right.
How surprised are you in terms of how quickly, after kind of like being an average type of guy in the minors, how quickly he became a really nasty pitcher? I mean, his stuff is nasty. Talk to us about that, because I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, he just made a few tweaks and started attacking a little bit differently. You know, he was a guy, I think, Bernie, he's a guy that if the Cardinals had done the things they're doing now with player development and a pitching lab and all that, he probably would have made those changes and had those things happen a little sooner. But the fact that those things happen at the highest levels, AAA and the major leagues, is probably the most encouraging thing, right? He wasn't a college guy blowing away 19-year-old players in A-ball. I mean, he was making those adjustments and getting better against good hitters. So you're seeing a little bit better combo with his fastball, breaking ball. But also you're just seeing an attack mentality, right? He has made it his goal to throw strikes and then go as deep into games as you can. And that's one of the great things about him, Bernie. If he makes the team, there are no workload worries. This is a guy that's carried a workload. This is a guy that could go out and throw you 180 innings, 190 innings right now without any problem.
Yeah, I think he's going to be on the team one way or the other. I hope Scott is. But, Kevin, what would it be like if, you can make the case without much effort that the best pitcher in camp, most impressive pitcher in camp has been Michael McGreevy. He's got a 1.08 ERA. He hasn't walked anyone in 16 and two-thirds innings.
That's the number to look at, too.
Right, right. And so then, and Victor Scott, by far, their most impressive offensive player, by far. So how in the world could the Cardinals justify this if like both of these guys open the season in Memphis? I mean, after all of this talk about a reset, a runway, transition, don't these two guys represent exactly what the team wants the public to believe?
Yes. They're the perfect age, right? They're 23, yep. 24 years old. They're not 28. They're not 21 and you're pushing them early. They're in that sweet spot where, yes, if you're performing and you're doing the things that you've been asked to do, you would think that would be a big part of what the team wants to do this year. And it's just be fascinating to see by the time we get to Monday how those decisions played out. And then we can all talk about it on the Gas House Gang next week, on the Redbird Rush Hour next week, and, of course, here on DGS as well. We're a little tight today, Bern, obviously,
That's cool, brother.
Clock. So we get a little Cardinals in. If people want to hear Bernie and I talk, and Matt Pauly too, talking about Mizzou's season coming to an end or the Blues, you can do that on the Gas House Gang. Just go to YouTube, you go to Facebook, Twitter, or just podcast it anywhere you get your podcast. We did a lot of that earlier today as well. So thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend. Tell us about Saliga. All right, just past 3:35, 3:36 here on KMOX DGS. Dave out today. Back on Monday. Monday is our big flip the switch day. 104.1 FM KMOX becomes a reality. And joins 1120 KMOX to dominate the radio world.
That's the plan.
Really looking forward to that. And obviously, our friend Dave Murray is going to be a part of all of this as we go forward. You excited about that, Dave?
I am. My switch has been flipped already. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. We got some lineup changes to Nothing Affects DGS. It's going to stay the same time, same style, same everything. As Dave put it, with kind of a refreshed approach on a few things like guests and things like that. But otherwise, same style, same subjects, same everything. And the big additions would be the Gas House Gang moving to live on the air at noon. It's been streaming on noon since November, so that'll be live from noon to 1. And then Matt Pauly and I will do the Redbird Rush Hour, Dave, so that'll be 5 to 6. Mostly cards, but it'll be some – I mean, still going to do – by the way, anybody worried, Dave, for you? We're still going to do the weather during that. We're still going to do the traffic. I am a certified weather spotter, so I am okay to do the weather during the 5 o'clock hour. Not the forecast. I just read it. I just read what you wrote down. I just read what you said is all I'm going to do. Nothing else will change. Like, the traffic's still going to be there. You're not going to miss out on any of that. It's just we'll have Matt Pauly at the ballpark on a lot of days. And we'll be just covering the Cardinals leading up to the pregame and all that. So those are the cool biggest changes. And obviously Ronge will be driving the Gas House Gang at noon. So then Matt and I will be in the afternoon, and Bernie's going to be on all of it, and Tom's going to be on all of it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
And I should know the answer to this. Is there a correlation between preseason baseball and the actual season?
Yes, to a degree, right? Like, to a degree. So there are times, I can use a specific example, like Miles Michaelis. Miles had a great spring last year, like 1.5 ERA, no walks, really good, and then just got hammered for 6 months in the regular season. So it can make a difference, and it's more often that it's a sign of something. Like when you think about what we see, right? You see a guy hitting 310. So, you know, what you have to kind of consider is, who did he face? Was he facing minor leaguers or major leaguers in spring training? How many of those were hit hard? So when you add it all together, you can have some meaning, but even that can be deceiving. So, right. And just as an example, like people, this is a big one. So in 2023, Dave, the Cardinals ended up winning, 72, 73 games, right? They were the best team in spring training that year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that answers a lot, right?
Yes.
There.
Right. Right. I try to think of it with individuals, but that's the simplest thing. Like, it really doesn't guarantee anything. The regular season is its own thing.
How important is spring training?
Super important to get ready, right? Super important for pitchers to build up the workload, for hitters to get their timing, to make whatever changes they want to make. You know, if guys are learning new positions, like, it's really important for those things. But in terms of outcomes, everything has to be taken with a grain of salt. Everything.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And there are things. So we just had Bernie Miklas on, Dave, and we were talking about Victor Scott because he's been really exciting. He's had a great spring. And he had a good spring last year, too, and that didn't work out so well when he got to the big leagues. But the things that are different this year that we can measure, he's hitting the ball a lot harder. He's not swinging at as many crappy pitches as he was last year. He's only swinging at good ones. Like, he's doing things that are clearly different. Even if the numbers kind of on the surface look the same, the under the surface stuff is still telling us this is a different player, a better player.
Cool. Answered my questions.
Good.
Thank you.
That's a good question. We like that one. So here's my question for you.
I'll be on the gas out gang before you.
Dude, Dave, you are welcome as a guest on the Redbird Rush Hour or on the Gas House Gang anytime you want to do it.
Okay.
Anytime you want to do it. Hey, and if you join us in the 5 o'clock hour, you could talk some ball with us and do the weather with us.
There you go. Can talk about game forecast.
There we go. All right. We're going to figure that out. We got to have Dave Murray on one of these at one point. All right. My question for you is, what are we looking at this weekend? Is it going to be like this today? Because today's gotten good, even though it was cold this morning.
Yeah, it was cold, but it's been cloudy. You know, the cloudy right now. The clouds will give way later on. It stays windy tonight. The good news, it's a 50-50 weekend. Saturday's the best day of the weekend. The better news is light winds on Saturday for a change. Plenty of sunshine, 62. Next system starts to come in Saturday night. Clouds will take over. The evening is fine. Winds pick up again. Showers and a couple of thunderstorms after midnight. I don't see anything severe. 47 for the low. Sunday, scattered showers, possible thunderstorms, and unsettled days. It's not going to be raining all day, but it's one of these days where I think the most we'll see is in the morning with some possible isolated action during the afternoon. 65. Again, nothing severe, but the stronger storms could produce some small to moderate size hail. That's just about all they have in it. That's isolated. Wouldn't worry about it. Clear skies Sunday night. Monday, sunny and 62. And right now, opening day looks okay.
Very good.
Sunshine dominates, yeah.
Man, that's the main thing, right? I mean,
yes.
No rain means no delay, but warm is the kicker. Like, that's the bonus. We can deal with no rain and cold, but we don't want the cold. The cold still kind of stinks on opening day.
No, and we all remember we've had opening days with snow and thunderstorms and rain. And
I think it was.
We've had great ones, too.
I think opening day 2014 was awful. Like, super cold. I remember it because I was broadcasting outside during it, and it sucked. It was terrible. It was no fun at all. But at least for us this year, no matter what, the kegs and eggs and all that's indoors at Ballpark Village. So
that'll
be good. Cool. But I'm going to the game, so I want that to be nice and enjoyable. And, baseball in the cold is not fun.
No, not at all.
Not fun for the players either. It's just, hitting a baseball when it's like 30 degrees isn't the worst. That was my whole high school experience. It's the worst.
Yeah, I would assume that the bat just like vibrates in your hand.
Yeah, you don't move. I don't know. There are times when it gets to normal where you hit it and you're like, that felt great. But you got to be almost perfect.
Okay.
If you're wrong and you're already like slower anyway because you're
muscles tighten up. But I'll say this.
Golf's the same way.
It is. Yeah.
Golf in the cold is awful.
It is. It's the same thing. But the difference, like the only guys that really are okay on cold days are catchers. Catchers and pitchers, because you're doing the most. You know, you have a good sweat going. You loosen up a little bit. But, man, if you're just like playing right field and standing out there freezing your butt off, it's not great. It's even worse when you're on the bench because you just sit there the whole time under a big blanket. Usually, a big jacket, not so much a big blanket. Sounds good, though. I'm glad it sounds like it's trending toward a good opening day.
Yes.
Weather-wise next week. Want to do some headlines, Rach?
Sure, we'll do a couple here. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Man, it seems like every other day we have a story about a flight gone wrong here in the United States. Mm. Well, a Southwest flight nearly departed from a taxiway in Orlando after the crew mistook the surface for the nearby runway.
Mm. That's a wild story. I can't even wrap my head around that story.
Yeah, like what were you doing that you got mixed up between the taxi and the runway? Like what was going on in that cockpit? What's your explanation, folks?
And what's going on in the tower? I mean, it's just not the, it's not just the pilots. It's the whole situation.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You cleared a plane to take off from that position.
Well, an air traffic controller was the person who stopped them and was like, whoa, 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 what are you guys doing?
guys.
Yeah, like, you're not in the right spot. The incident occurred when the crew mistook the taxiway for the runway during takeoff. Southwest is cooperating with investigations to ensure safety. The airline emphasized the importance of safety for customers and employees in a statement. I'm excited to learn more about this one because it is odd. It is odd to say the least. DoorDash will start letting users eat now and pay in installments. I don't know if you've ever heard of Klarna, but that allows you to pay for something over time in interest-free installments or deferred options. Now you can do this with your DoorDash payments. I think this is a horrible idea. If you're in dire enough straits that you need to split up your Taco Bell order, just don't order it in the first place.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to throw this at Dave, too, because, I mean, like, we've been around a little bit, and if you have to finance your dinner, cook your own. Yes. Don't be ordering DoorDash if you're like, well, I can't pay for all of it now.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty good sign you shouldn't be eating out.
Go get some spaghetti noodles and cook it up.
Get some ramen.
Yeah.
You know what you do? Like, here's a good dinner, man. Get some, this was college for me a lot. Get some ramen, get some slices of cheese and some bread, and have grilled cheese and ramen. It's awesome.
Sounds good to me.
A lot of carbs.
Even better yet, how about a can of Spam?
There
you go. No. Fry that up.
Yeah.
No. Oh, that's awesome.
That's the Hawaii thing in you.
That's right.
Man, I was I was always so grossed out by the thought of Spam until I had it. It is so delicious.
Oh, no. you can get low sodium Spam.
No.
Yeah. A little couple of eggs, a little rice. Awesome. Not every day.
It's not even it's not a health thing. It's like I'm okay with ham. It's fine. But I don't like it enough to eat a mashed up version of it.
Fair enough.
Hey, pretend it's not ham.
It's Spam.
What if they had like a chicken Spam?
Yeah.
A steak Spam.
I'd try it. I mean,
yeah, I would too.
I'm sure there's a version of it somewhere.
Let's do one more story and then we'll take a break. A NASA spacecraft will make another close pass to the sun. NASA's Parker Solar Probe is set to make its second close pass with the sun, flying within 3.8 million miles of the star. This spacecraft was launched in 2018, and it's the fastest ever built by humans. It'll hit speeds of 430,000 miles per hour at its closest approach. Scientists hope the data collected by Parker will help them understand the sun's outer atmosphere and solar wind.
Man,
kind of cool.
Those numbers always blow me away. Like, we're going to get close. 3.8 million miles away is close in like astronomical terms. That's crazy.
All burnt up.
Dave, have a great weekend.
You too, guys.
I'm playing with the stream cameras. I'm not afraid to push buttons.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Giving me motion sickness earlier.
I didn't do that. Well, I did kind of inadvertently. Like the button got stuck on the keyboard. It was like stuck underneath the little cord on the mic thing there. So it was making my camera turn on and off, on and off, on and off really fast. Like you're flicking a light switch in a room.
I was like, oh.
That's kind of like that. Yeah, I didn't mean it. It wasn't on purpose. But yeah, I'm not afraid to play around with technology. I run those things a lot for the Gas House Gang, so I'm a...
Oh, the StreamYards, you mean?
I'm a expert.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun doing the stream. We were so resistant to it for so long.
You got a great big brown paper bag right there.
Yeah.
That's the fish.
Delicious fish from Squires.
Oh, my God. Is it good?
It's so good. The shrimps.
We just did a taster in during the break. I'm like, how do I not eat it all right now? Like right now in the next 2 minutes before the break. Yeah, so we'll definitely... Look forward to talking to AJ Miller from Squires here in just a few minutes. That'll be right after the top of the hour. And of course, we got a few things left to do. We got another full hour to talk. We may have a little update on a couple Cardinal things later on. We don't know for sure who's making the team and who's not and all of that. But if anything pops up, that's going to start, you know, probably tomorrow and Sunday, that news. But if anything pops up here now that the games are over, we'll definitely let you know. Rach, you have some life hacks, or did you find some? Like, these are your hacks?
These are just general life hacks.
General hacks, all right.
We have a couple of seconds here. I can get through a few of them.
Oh, let's do a couple now, and we'll save the rest for later. Let's do a tease now.
So apparently putting a pinch of salt in your coffee is a way to make it taste way better. I guess it gets rid of some of the bitterness.
Okay.
Like the bitterness in my coffee, but...
You going to try it?
Yeah. You know what? I'll try it tomorrow and report back. And then Andrew just went to the DMV earlier today. If you want a shorter wait time at the DMV, they suggest to show up just before it closes for the day. Apparently, everything is moving faster because the workers just want to go home.
Oh,
I don't know if I trust that.
I don't know. Yeah, okay, you might get stuck, but that motivation's a good motivation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time to leave is good motivation. All right, we'll come back to some of those a little bit later on. All right, it's 4:03 on DGS. Dave, not with us today. He's hanging out with Phoebe on the last weekend of spring break, so getting a little extra day before she goes back to KU. But he'll be back here on Monday, and obviously Monday's a big deal. We're flipping that switch to go to 104.1 FM, so that'll be new as of 12:01 Monday morning. So we've got that start going on. And obviously, if you're listening on the AM dial, it's not going away. Not going away. I cannot recommend highly enough, though, if you have the ability. Like, if you're way out, you're probably not going to pick up the 104.1. But if you're in the suburbs, if you're in the just the general St. Louis area, you're going to hear it, and it just everything sounds better. All of us in FM sounds better. The Cardinals in FM sounds better. So that's all coming up starting on Monday. Obviously, we'll tell you a little bit more later about the big first pitch breakfast that's happening in advance of Kegs and Eggs, but as part of our opening day celebration on Thursday. So we'll give you the details on that, but not many tickets left, so you're going to want to go pretty quickly on that one. All right, so we normally would be doing the Fish Smackdown this week. I'm sorry, I got to say it like Dave does, Smackdown.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic Fish Fry Smackdown is normally at this time on Fridays. For a lot of different logistical reasons, we're not going that route today. Dave's not here. Food tasters had some conflicts, things like that. So we're just going to continue that next week. So I guess, what did we decide this was?
It's an exhibition.
It's like instead of the regular season, this
yeah.
is going to be but it's actually better than the real thing because we have A.J. Miller in, who's the GM of Squires in Lafayette Square. And A.J. brought us your guys' version of the fish fry. Can I just, I told you this off the air. I want to say it on the air. That is amazing fish and shrimp.
Thank you
it
so
is
much.
Phenomenal.
It's really good.
I'm like not. I put it over there for a reason. It's not next to me for a reason. I don't want to eat during the segment.
It's
so
pretty
good.
Great.
So tell, I mean, just tell everybody a little bit about what you guys do with it, because you gave me some of the details. Why is it the way that it is? Because, you know, when Rach and I were talking about it, there's a lot of places where there's just too much batter on the fish, or maybe sometimes not enough, or it's not seasoned well enough. What do you guys do with it? Why is it so good?
Yeah, so we actually use Greasy Dick Brothers brewing their Golden Pilsner in our beer batter, so local, which we love. And it's such a great beer. We've had it since we opened almost 24 years ago. And it's just great that we've had such a great relationship with them, and we're so happy that we can use it you know, for people to drink as well as in our food. But we beer batter our whitefish as well as our shrimp. And then it also comes with mashed potatoes with braised onions, green beans, coleslaw, which is awesome.
I haven't got to try that yet.
Is so good.
I feel like I'm going to spill it on myself if I don't wait.
And then tartar sauce and cocktail sauce, and then it comes with a roll.
So is this part of like, is this your normal menu? Do you do it this time of year more often?
So we do it every Friday in Lent, and then we also have our fish and chips on our lunch menu Tuesday through Friday that we also beer batter as well with the Greasy Dick Brothers.
But this that you just described, this is like your version of the big fish fry.
Yes,
that's the Catholic, Friday nights.
Yep, Catholic version. I think that we still have a little bit of work to do because some fish fries, Catholic fish fries, are so good, and you just can't compete. But this is our version, and people really seem to love it, and it's homemade. It's made from scratch. It's made with lots of love, and we love doing it every year.
Yeah, it's cool. And look, the stuff that we've had, the people that come in, they bring all of it's great. And you're right; it's tough competition.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go out on a limb and bet that, you know, unlike some of those places, you're not gonna wait in a 250-yard long line.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. You can order it right off our menu. You can come in for dinner and sit at the table, sit at the bar, sit outside, and just order off the menu. You can do that, or you can just do, you know, whatever else on our restaurant menu that we have that for that evening. So you can pick either fish fry or restaurant menu food. So, you know, it's not like the normal Catholic style
right.
you get in line.
So if I want a burger, I'm good?
You're good. You can do burger.
I know
and
some
fish.
People don't. You're not allowed to have burgers on Fridays. Yeah. Some people are not, but I'm allowed, so.
I just want to say, Squires is such a great vibe. You guys have a great patio.
Yes.
Just a beautiful, I mean, you can just sit out there and just kind of enjoy the rest of Lafayette Square. Yeah. Great bar area. And then I was telling you before we went on the air, I used to love to go into Squires Market and just grab something.
We've got a great market, and we are dog friendly on our patio. So if you have, you know, a little animal friend that you want to bring, we love dogs, love seeing them. But yeah, we've got a great market. You know, lots of really great local things that we carry. We also carry, you know, grab and go things, beer, wine, liquor, gourmet cheeses, cookies, all sorts of sweets.
Rachel, she said cookies.
Yeah.
I know. Gil's just telling me I need to go get these cookies for everybody.
So go visit Allison. She's our market lady. Go visit her. She would love to see you guys.
That's awesome. So tell us more about just the business, because obviously this is phenomenal. And you told us about the fish fries on Friday so people can get that big Catholic fish dinner done the way that you guys do it, which is, again, I cannot recommend enough. The fish is phenomenal. The shrimp is amazing. Haven't gotten into the sides yet, but they smell great, and I'm tempted right now to just start eating instead of talking. But just tell us about Squires for people that haven't been there like Rach, or people that are just listening. Where can they find you? What's the best place to get info, and what should people know about you guys?
Yeah, so we're down in Lafayette Square, which is just right down, almost downtown, really close to Soulard. We're right on the corner of Park and 18th South 18th Street. You can look online on our website, squires.com. You can go to our Instagram page as well, Facebook page. But, you know, like I said, we've been around for, it'll be 24 years in October, and we do private events. We do you know, big events, small events. We've got a great patio. You know, we do lots of you know, give back to the neighborhood. We're very family friendly. My kids are there almost every day after school. You know, I've been there since I was a kid. So you know, it's a great family run business, and we love it, and we love our customers, and yeah, so come down and see us. It's almost patio season. So we've got a great patio as well.
So if people if they just Google search you, then that's going to get you to all the social media. I know it'll get you to the restaurant website.
Yes.
And for anybody that hasn't seen it, it's Squires. So if you haven't seen it, it's pronounced the way you would think it is, but that's how it's spelled. So if you're going to look it up, that's the way to go.
Yes, that's the way.
It's awesome to see you, AJ.
Yeah, great to see you.
Thanks for bringing and continuing the fish fry smackdown. You guys have the benefit of not being able to lose, even though you also cannot win the trophy. But maybe we'll give you guys a separate certificate just for playing.
That'd
we appreciate
great.
You.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yep, thanks for popping in. We appreciate it. We continued on with the SmackDown. We'll get back to the competition next week. And again, that's AJ Miller from Squires, Squires, if you want to look it up on Twitter, or on Twitter, on Google, and that'll get you to the website, all the socials, so you can find out what's going on there. All right, stick around. We got a lot more to do before we get to the top of the hour. Oh, man, it's the last 45 minutes before we add FM.
I know. This is crazy.
Love it. Back in on DGS, Dave out today, back on Monday. I think it's appropriate, Rach, that we do a flashback Friday, considering that it's kind of coming up on a pretty, I think, I don't know, it might be a bit dramatic to call it a historic change. I think it's a significant change for us at KMOX, though.
Yeah,
moving on
sure.
to, you know, adding the 104.1 FM signal is a massive change, and just a positive one. There's no downside to it. Nothing goes away. Nothing is lost. Everything is gained. That is my definition of a good move, right? I mean, if it was a trade in sports and you're like, yep, you don't lose anything, but you gain good stuff, you're going to make that trade all day, every day. So I guess we can treat this as in advance of that becoming a thing. We can flash back to some other things today on a Flashback Friday.
Absolutely. Back in the day on March 21st, 73 years ago in 1952, a gentleman named Alan Freed held the Moondog Coronation Ball in Cleveland. It's now considered to be the first major rock and roll show in history. So I looked up Alan Freed. He was a DJ, DJ back in the day. He held this Moondog Coronation Ball. The arena that he held it in Cleveland could only hold 10,000 people, but over 20,000 fans showed up, and the crowd broke through the gates. So the cops ended up shutting the entire thing down.
Does it say who played?
It does not
say
who
played. Oh, I got to Google that, man.
The Moondog
Coronation
Ball.
1952? All right, let's see. I bet that's going to come up pretty quick. Oh, there we go. Oh, I had it for a second. There we go. Let's see. I wonder if it's going to be anybody big, or if it's just going to be people that were.
I think it's probably
big at the time.
That's what I'm thinking. Being that it was 1952, it's like, I don't think it was like Elvis Presley or anything.
I was going to say there weren't that many rock stars in 1952.
Right.
It was still TBD. I don't see any listing of. Of the bands on the Wikipedia page. Oh, well.
They still, you know what they had? It was definitely a rock show. You know, 10,000 extra people showed up and broke through the gates. So, good
All
for
right.
them.
So, I found the banner, the concert poster.
Mm-hmm.
So, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., man, they were shooting late back in the 1950s.
Dang.
That is a late show. Paul Williams and the Hucklebuckers. And then Tiny Grimes and the Rockin' Highlanders. Those were like two of the big ones.
Love those guys.
They had the Dominoes.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know much about them, but I know that. Danny Cobb. Veretta Dillard. So to all these people, I just do not know.
All right.
There you go. That's pretty cool.
60 years ago in 1965, Martin Luther King led 3,000 civil rights demonstrators on a 54-mile march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, to demand voting rights for black people. By the end of the march, 25,000 people had joined. 60 years ago, 1965.
Man, that's... It's so recent that it feels wrong.
Yes, I agree.
You right? Like, if that was 200 years ago, you're like, okay, people were stupid back then. Apparently, people were stupid 60 years ago, too.
Yes.
And are still now. A lot of people are. Less stupid people.
That's true.
The number of us that have stopped being stupid has increased.
45 years ago in 1980, President Jimmy Carter announced the U.S. Olympic team. Announced to the U.S. Olympic team, pardon me, that they would not participate in the 1980 Summer Games in Moscow as a boycott against the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan.
The worst. The worst. We need to stop putting people that have nothing to do with geopolitical issues and ruining their careers, the things that they've been working for their entire lives. Because other people decided to do something you don't like.
Mm.
Like, if you want to put sanctions on a country, I hate it now. I hate that international federations are limiting Russian athletes. They had nothing to do with this. Why should you be punished when you have nothing to do with the problem?
Mm-hmm.
And having seen some Olympians, I've talked to a couple of Olympians that were supposed to go in 1980, and it was it. That was their shot. They made it. They qualified, and that was it. They weren't going to be able to go back. They didn't get to go back in 1984 when it was in L.A. I just don't see the use of using sports or entertainment people as props in political issues.
Let's see here. 41 years ago in 1984, New York re-landscaped a portion of Central Park and renamed it Strawberry Fields in honor of John Lennon. It officially reopened 7 months later on what would have been his 45th birthday.
So it wasn't open forever?
It's been open forever since they opened.
Okay, since they got it.
You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
36 years ago in 1989, Dick Clark announced that he was stepping down as the host of American Bandstand after 33 years. He had more than 10,000 musical guests that had appeared on Bandstand, and over 600,000 teenagers danced on camera while Dick Clark was running American Bandstand. 600,000 teenagers.
The original man who never aged.
Yeah, and didn't he just pass away like less than 20 years ago?
Oh, I don't know. Now I have to look because...
Yeah, let's Google that because I kind of remember it was still Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin'
Eve. It was 2012.
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah.
Nice long life.
Yeah, and again, looked like he was 50 when he was 90. I don't know how old exactly he got to be. I don't think he got to 90, but I mean, he died at 82, but forever he just looked like 20 years younger than he was.
36 years ago in 1989, Sports Illustrated reported allegations that Pete Rose had bet on baseball.
Ooh, boy.
It took him until 2004 to admit it. So we just talked about this the other day.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting.
Not a fan of Pete. A lot of people that don't know the full Pete story don't really share the same contempt for him that I have. Not just the betting, but obviously I mentioned it before. He, in court documents, admitted to having an affair with a teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, no, it was legal age, though. Like, she was 16. That was legal in that state at that time. Like, okay, buddy. But you're still like a 33-year-old married major league player, and you're dating a 16-year-old.
Yeah, anytime you have to be like, oh, no, technically that was
technically,
legal. It's like,
on a technicality.
Let's start reevaluating.
I've actually interviewed Pete. I didn't know that story at the time.
Oh, okay.
That story wasn't really public until a lot later.
Mm.
It was part of the report that Major League Baseball did. Like, they uncovered a lot. But that stuff was not really public knowledge at the time when I interviewed him. And he's actually a fun interview. I get why people like being around him because he's funny and he's pretty quick-witted and all of that. But not a good guy. Not somebody you want to go to bat for.
No,
sorry, that, yeah, I didn't mean that, but it's appropriate.
Just looking at the stream chat here, Jerry is asking, why did the FM station change from 98.7 to 104.1? Signal strength?
Yep, pretty much.
Exactly that. 104.1 way is much wider coverage signal, yes.
Right, so if you think of like 98.7, it was pointing in a very specific direction, basically down the I-40 corridor, and it only extended out so far. But if you look at the 104.1, it's more of like, it's considered a market-wide signal, which means it's going to cover in all directions and probably a good bit further out from the downtown area as opposed to what the 98.7 was. So like they're both FM. They're both going to sound the same.
Yeah.
This one just has a much broader range. I don't know enough to say whether it's a 5 times larger signal or a 10 times. I don't know that, but it is a significantly larger signal. Yes.
36 years ago in 1989, Madonna released her 4th album, Like a Prayer. It included her hits Cherish and Express Yourself.
Mm.
That's Wheels' favorite pop star.
Yeah,
Madonna.
Yeah, that's his go-to.
I have one Madonna story, and that was the time that she made her debut on the MTV Music Awards, performing mm-hmm. Like a Virgin. And have you ever seen it? Have you seen the video?
Mm-mm.
All right, have you seen it, Andrew?
Yep.
She's basically just rolling around on stage in lingerie.
Okay.
And doing this in prime time on MTV. And we used to get the chance. My parents were cool enough to let me and my brother put the MTV Music Awards on once a year when it would come on. And, you know, my dad would sit in the back and, you know, snark at everybody. And when that started happening, Mom and Dad were not comfortable. And I'll be honest with you, neither were the boys.
Yeah, you don't want to watch that with
I'm
Mom
like,
and Dad.
I'm going to go get a drink, you guys. You keep on enjoying Madonna rolling around on the floor. I'm going to get a drink, and I'll be back.
One more here. 31 years ago in 1994, Michael Jordan was cut from the Chicago White Sox spring training roster
Aww.
And sent to the minors.
I hated that, too. I'm a hater. I hated when he did that.
When he went
and played minor league baseball. I hated that stuff. I hated when Tim Tebow did it. I just hate it when people use their clout to jump the line and push other people out that are trying to do that for real.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, you're already worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He was at the time was the greatest basketball player on the planet. He just stepped away after his dad passed away. He wasn't like diminished. He wasn't retired. He came back after that and won 3 more titles and won more MVPs and all of that. Like, don't be pushing some 22-year-old guy who's actually trying to make a career out of this to the back of the line because you're friends with the owner of the White Sox because he owns the Bulls. Hate that. So I'm a hater.
That's okay. It's warranted.
That's DGS on a Friday. Dave will be back on Monday. The rest of us are here. And obviously Monday we add the 104.1 FM signal. I know you're probably tired of hearing us saying it, but you're going to have to get used to it because... Well, it's the new,
yeah, it's gonna the be new, the new
signal,
thing.
So it's going to be the way we talk about it all the time. Andrew, I feel for you, buddy. You have my deepest sympathies
Why that is.
For your current home internet situation.
Man, it sucks.
How long have you been without internet now?
Since the storm on
Friday.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I know, it knocked out our Wi-Fi.
So is this like an area thing or like something in your house got jacked up because of it?
My modem got destroyed by the storm.
Oh, so you're waiting for a new modem.
Surged. Yeah, waiting for a new modem. They haven't sent it yet. And yeah, I can't watch my stories. We're cable cutters, so we have nothing without internet. So it's just like staring at a blank TV.
So this... Like, that's a modern nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, I get it if you're living in Little House on the Prairie times, you didn't have internet. But when you have things and then they're removed, that sucks.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it doesn't, I always hated that. Like, my parents always did it. Well, we didn't even have color TV. I don't care.
It ain't my problem.
Because if you had something back then and it went away, you'd be mad about it.
And I went out and bought an $80 modem because the modem said it is compatible with Charter. And then I got home and hooked it up, and Charter's like, nah, it ain't. So I wasted it.
Well, did you return it?
I opened it.
It doesn't matter.
You can return
it. Put it back in the box, take it back, return it. Just say it's not compatible.
Okay, then I am going to.
Yeah, you should do that. Don't just be like, don't eat the $80 because they can just put some tape on it and they'll just resell it to somebody. That's how that works. I used to work at a department store.
Some other sucker.
Hey, it wouldn't be nearly the worst thing that anybody's returned at a store. Did you ever get that, Rach? Did you ever get that at Radio Shack?
Oh,
like
yeah.
The weird returns or like the crazy ones?
Yeah,
like
there
used
was actually,
batteries.
This battery's dead. I want to return it.
There was a girl I knew from high school who came in to return a phone charger, and she was being so nice to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's nice. We had a nice little interaction. And then when she left, I realized she just stole from Radio Shack because she basically returned a charger we don't sell. Basically, she had went in, she had bought a charger, she had taken it out of the packaging, and then put her old charger back in the packaging and came and returned it to my face.
You should have returned her in.
And I'm still mad at you about that if you're out there listening.
That's Let's have lame. A name.
Oh, no, it's way too... I went to a
too
high
unique.
School with like 50 people in the whole high school. Like, yeah.
Did you tell the principal?
Well,
I didn't tell the principal, but I did apologize to my boss for getting
She knows what
duped.
She did. She should still be guilty about
person.
It. Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. There you go. I had my first job ever was in high school. I was working the register in the men's department at Sears. Like, mm-hmm. That was what I did. My first day was like 2 days before Christmas, which sucked. Because, sorry guys, to do the whole back in the day, nobody was having anything delivered to their house. You were all out buying things. Mm-hmm. So the line was a mile long and all that. And it was like maybe a week later. It might have been right after the holiday rush. This lady comes in and she wants to return some men's pajamas. And they're in the plastic, you know, like the plastic that wrap that they come in, right? They're men's pajamas. It's kind of like, I don't know, even you buy T-shirts or whatever that are wrapped in plastic. And this, again, this was 1988, I think it was. The pajamas were purchased in 1966.
Oh my God.
And she wanted to return them because she found them while cleaning out the basement and obviously did not have the receipt from 22 years before and wanted us to return them. And I'm like, I can't return those. I don't even know what the cost is. I don't have a code. I don't have anything to do that. And she's like, I want the manager. I'm like, fine, you get the manager. And he did it.
That's so lame.
He gave her like $10.
Did she have the receipt?
No.
I think
of course not for 22 years ago.
I know you're going to disagree with me because you're a principal guy. But I know you love to argue. But I think that is probably the right call. I think to make a compromise with somebody like that who's just going to stand there and throw a fit and make everybody lose time and energy because dealing with her when there's better things everybody could be doing, I think to just make the executive decision and be like, look, if I give you a $10 bill, will you get out of my face and leave us all alone and stop harassing my employees?
You know what that's called? Negotiating with terrorists.
Yes!
And I'm
against
it,
Andrew. She was a terrorist.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I've been like, you know what? You could stand there and yell at me all day. I'm just going to do my thing, and you can be there. It's
See, I'm
fine.
I'm a path of least resistance guy. I'm what is going to get everybody in this situation de-escalated to a place of normalcy.
I get where you're coming from.
But
it comes down to like then everyone can start bringing in their old pajamas.
What if she wants to do it
bucks?
Once a week now?
Yeah.
Gonna find some old crap and be like, look, return it.
Sometimes you gotta teach these people a lesson.
I will say, like, I do understand, you know, having been in, you know, like the restaurant business, sometimes you're gonna give in a little bit because the idea, and this is what my manager told me at the time, because I looked at him and I was like, why did you give her money? He's like, look, I don't know if she's gonna come back or not, but if she's happy, she might shop here. And like that's the whole point of the customer is always right. That's the reason why. Even if the person who's the patron at the restaurant's being kind of an ass, you're probably going to err on the side of making them happy because the idea is you want them to come back.
Yeah.
Still
I would don't not, negotiate with terrorists.
I would not have given that lady $10. And by the way, $10 in 1988 is probably $25 now.
Yeah, that's a good amount of money.
$25 now.
For your old pajamas that are older than Wheeler.
For
like,
your
that's
old,
not,
they were.
Like 1966,
they were.
That was before you were born.
I was born in 71. These pajamas were older than me. Obviously, nobody's carrying the same pajamas. That was kind of what I was trying to explain. I'm like, we don't carry these anymore. I don't have a code. I can't scan them. I can't return them in that way.
Lady, she's like, this brand isn't even a thing anymore.
Like, get your manager. I'm like, you got it. And you're not my problem, lady.
What we would have at the shack is if someone returned like an iPhone or something, you would be subject to a restocking fee at times.
Oh, yeah,
or
yeah.
Like a big TV or something. Yeah. And that's to discourage people from like buying a big screen television to watch the Super Bowl on
and then
returning
it
the next day.
Okay, now this I like. You give her $10 to shut her up and get her out of your hair, and then you snatch it out of her hands and you go, restocking fee.
Ah, man. I just the nerve of some people.
I'm getting mad thinking about it.
To act like somebody owes you something when you are so clearly wrong. Like, really, like, if it was down there for the last 22 years, you weren't hurting for those $10.
Yeah.
You never even knew it was there.
You didn't even know about it.
You didn't even remember that you bought it. It was a non-issue. Like, why would you do that? I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry about your internet situation. Do you have an ETA on when the new modem is arriving?
No. So my wife spoke to them, and I thought she said that it's coming within 2 or 3 days. And what they actually told her, and I misheard, was they're going to try and send it within 2 or 3 days.
Oh.
Which was 3 days ago, and they still haven't sent it.
Isn't there a charter store you can go by and just pick one up?
Yeah.
No, because the one in Alton is like indefinitely closed. We went to it because it doesn't say it's closed online, but when we got there, there was a sign on the door that was like, you're out of luck. I will say, though, I don't just want to, if I'm going to talk about how mad I am that that store was abruptly closed with no warning, because I'm extremely angry about it, I do need to say, twice now I have like called, because we also had like an outage at our house specifically that needed to get resolved before we could even fix the modem situation. And so I talked to some call center people, and man, it was some incredible customer service. It was easy to get to a real person, not an AI, and they were very helpful. They were very nice. They were very understanding. I gave them that same energy back in the hopes that they would make their day a little brighter, which I think that it did. I think they're used to people screaming at them, where's my internet? You know, my iPad kids can't, you know, watch Barney and everyone's freaking out. And it was just, it was a very nice interaction, and we always talk on how much customer service is terrible now and how it's impossible to get through a person, and if you do, they're super unhelpful. And I just wanted to give credit where it was due. Spectrum customer service was actually pretty incredible and helpful with our issues.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Good times. Always nice when you get good service.
Yeah.
Because you expect it from more like mom and pop and local, because they're obviously a human being that cares about it, mm-hmm. as opposed to somebody who's thousands of miles away and doesn't mm-hmm. care. So it's good when you get that.
Doesn't surprise.
I love you. The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.